following is a digital media production.
Hey guys, awesome episode today. Share it with friends. It's really great. We talk about a drunk text that gets taken back and a guy wants to be set up for a formal date. Check it out. Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side, State of New York Labs. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every week. I want to say it again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for telling your friends and coworkers and your brothers and your sisters and your fraternity brothers and your sorority sisters about this podcast. I love doing it. I want to keep it growing. Please turn to your right and left and look at that homeless person and be like, hey, man. Get on the podcast app and download the J Train podcast. Do it right now. I love it. I love that you guys are listening. Keep spreading the word. You can send in your emails, anything you got. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. That's JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Very excited about today's guest. You've seen him. He was a finalist on America's Got Talent, Mr. Gary Veeder. That's thank right. you for coming on, man.
Thank you. Did I call you J Train or
please, whatever you can, Papa JT.
Papa JT.
Yeah, like call that. Me whatever you'd like. I'm pumped for you to be here. We've been trying to schedule this, and I'm happy we got it together.
Yeah, this is awesome. Looking forward to looking. I want to hear these questions.
We got some good ones this week. Right, cool. Seriously, the emails keep coming in. They're so amazing, and it's tough to read them all. There's so many. So keep sending them in. JTrain.com. Or I keep fucking up because I'm looking at my website. Because I got to mention this. Listen, I got a website. I've got dates in there. I'm coming to some schools. Go to jtraincomedy.com. That's jtraincomedy.com. That's my website. I'm coming to Oregon State, and I guess I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon on March 30th at Harvey's Comedy Club. March 30th, one night only. If you want to come, bring some friends. That's going to be a great show. It's a Wednesday night. They're going to give me one night to come and do one show, and I'd love for you all to come out in Portland. That's Harvey's Comedy Club on March 30th, and you can go to my website, jtraincomedy.com. Let's get to the emails. Gary.
Yep, let's do it.
Gary Veeder. You can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Gary Veeder, GaryVeeder. Also, his website is GaryVeeder.com. Check out all his clips. Fantastic comedian. So funny.
Thank you.
Is it weird to think you were a finalist on America's Got Talent? Like, I remember watching that when I was like,
younger. All this stuff is it's surreal. I mean, this is the first time. This is my first year of actually being a working stand-up comic. So it's like it's just an interesting experience.
You're
like
living your own dream.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's gonna could come crashing down at any moment.
We all talk the same way. Anytime someone says that to us, every comic says the same thing. Yeah. Well, tomorrow I could just die.
At least I'll have the story of like 1 year I was a stand-up.
Yeah, 1 year I didn't you're doing those things in the jail cell where you're just putting a line on the wall for a year.
I'm just happy that at least today I have enough to make for food or whatever, pay my rent.
You can eat it. Comics are so depressing to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations. I'm just happy I can eat.
Now nobody's going to my website or looking me up. It's like, this guy thinks he sucks.
No, you got to see his videos. Go to GaryVeeder.com. His videos are fantastic. You're such a good comic. It's so fun. You're so funny. So go check him out. Go support Gary. He needs to eat.
Yes.
So go at Gary Veeder on Twitter.
I need to continue to do comedy.
Yeah, let him do comedy. He's good at it. Let's go to the emails. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, also, let me give an update. Mansamp is out today. He's got the sniffles. So we have our buddy Shelby here.
What's up?
He's having a little mic trouble. Hey. We're new here. Yeah. Thank you. Shelby, thank you for coming. You're going to come on later with some news.
Absolutely.
And we're going to do some hypotheticals and some shout-outs at the end. So, Drunk X.
Okay.
You ever had to deal with a Drunk X?
I mean, I've dealt with, I've been the drunk idiot, in so many circumstances that I probably could,
you
understand.
See, it from the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy writes, what's up, Juchu Train? Great podcast, always great to listen, to drain out idiots, okay? So here's the situation. My ex drunkenly texts that she was sorry and was looking to hang out. her being a 776, seven, so we have a rating system here on the podcast.
Yeah.
Face, body, personality.
Okay.
Seven face, seven body,
yeah.
Six personality. It's the area code method.
Oh, nice.
So we go
I
with
like that. Yeah, yeah. That's...
So here's the situation. Drunk texted that she was sorry looking to hang out. Her being a 776 and myself not being handsome, a handsome hunk, I immediately jump on the chance and apologize. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Next morning, she responds with, oh, I didn't mean to text you. So here I'm sitting with a dick in my hand, scouring Tinder. Here's my question. Did she really mean to text me? And when she sobered up, realized it was a mistake, what the fuck should I do?
All right. Well, I
mean, that fucking sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he already showed her his cards too.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that, I mean, that's the worst part. You can't show your hand.
Yeah.
You know. So she, you know, she kind of threw that out there. Who knows? Maybe she was fucking with him already. You know, like just to fuck with him.
I have this theory that if any girl is out there, I've mentioned this on the podcast before. If there's any girl out there that's not sure, if a guy likes her,
right?
Just text something like that. Hey. We should just hook up. Like,
yeah,
no
yeah.
strings attached. Like, if a girl, girls have to know the power they have. Any friend you have,
yeah.
If you text the dude, hey, it's late, I'm pretty horny, we should just hook up. Your buddy, your friend, I'm putting up quotes,
right.
is not going to text back, you're an asshole, you're crazy.
Exactly.
Their first text back is going to be, what?
Right.
They're gonna take a minute to like.
Yeah, I'm on my way.
Clear their head, and they will show up with the biggest boner, no matter how much of friends you are.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I'll put our friendship aside.
Yeah. You know? So this girl has to realize the power. She definitely.
She knows. She does realize it. I mean.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think most likely she was it was the truth. She was drunk. And
lonely
she was,
moment.
She was horny. I mean, I think the best thing that he could look forward to is that possibly happening again, you know? But I wouldn't necessarily count on it. But she was drunk. She texted him. And, you know, there was a small moment for them to hook up. But they're not going to – she obviously doesn't care about him enough.
Here's what I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say to this listener and to all the listeners out there. He will never be in a good relationship with her again.
Oh, totally.
The good relationship is over. Now, that's one road. Let's get that out of our head, buddy.
Right.
You're done with this girl being a good girlfriend. If you do get back together, it's going to be not as great.
Agreed.
You know, it's just, here's what she was going through. In the moment, what she was going through is a sad, lonely moment where she's without, you know, when you break up with someone, there's one less person to text, one less person to hug. So she is having that moment and she broke.
Right.
And now she's realizing that was a big mistake, which is fine. Here's what you can, and I've done this.
Yeah.
I remember I broke up with my girlfriend and then.
Yeah, maybe she, at the moment, she felt like she made a bad decision and then, but it was a drunk, like she was still drunk, not really like, thinking, not necessarily how she feels.
No.
So again, she's just sitting there alone.
Alone. You know? And you're the only one she had that she could text something a little off the map that she felt comfortable doing with.
Exactly.
If there was another dude out there that she felt comfortable doing it, she would have done him first.
Right.
I have done this. Yeah. I broke up with my girlfriend from a while back, and I remember I got all hammered at the Jersey Shore.
Right.
Okay, I'm at the Jersey Shore. I get hammered. I wake up like on a love seat.
Yeah.
Like I'm not even fully in a couch.
Right.
And I remember waking up and I felt like hungover and sad and anxiety filled. And I'm looking around. There's just bodies everywhere. I didn't even hook up the night before. I'm fucking pissed. I had just broken up with my girlfriend and I text her. I'm like, hey, I'm coming up to New York City. We got to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I drove up all the way to New York City and we had like this meeting.
Yeah.
And in my saddest moment, you bring up, you go to your most unhealthy place.
Yeah.
I said to her, and you're stupid because it's all emotions. And I said to her, I was like, you know what we should do? We should just be together when we're together and apart when we're apart.
Right.
And I remember, now I look back on that, I'm like, you stupid fucking idiot. Who would agree to such a plan?
And what'd she respond?
She said, fuck no.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, you're either in or you're out. And that's the case with all relationships.
Right.
And you're going to have these sad moments like his girlfriend had where you just your emotions are doing the thinking. Sometimes your penis does the thinking. Other times you're fucking drunken.
Right. I mean, he's getting this text, you know, like, you know, after midnight. There's no good intention there. There's nothing about, you know.
The bed got a little cold in his old spot.
Exactly.
Here's the other route that he can do. If he just wants to hook up.
Right. Exactly.
He can chick this thing.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And he can send a text being like, hey, that's really fucked up. You send like an overly dramatic mad text.
Okay.
And you just say, that's really fucking, you know, that's really fucked up. I was there for you when you needed me. You didn't even think of me when you sent that text. Send like the long,
right,
page long, really.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah. So you really wag the finger at her.
Yeah.
And she'll write back and she'll say, because she was in the wrong. She knows she was wrong. That's why she took it back.
Totally.
And what will happen is she'll say, and I'm only saying this advice because he said, you know, he's got his dick in hand. He's on Tinder. He's looking to fuck. So if you can put aside the girlfriend stuff, it's never going to happen that way.
Right.
But if he wants the hookup, he can write back really angry, and then she'll feel bad, and then he'll have one chance for a hookup.
Yeah.
And there's really no, you know, another option other than that. J-Train podcast.
He could write back to her, and whatever, you were drunk, you know, if you get drunk again and you want to fuck, hit me up. We don't have to be in a relationship, like he should just say that too, you know.
I hear what you're saying. I think there's really only one way to go as far as, like, mm-hmm. if they get back together, if they do something, it's with the idea of like, maybe we're gonna make this work. So my thought is make her feel so bad about it,
right,
that she's like, oh, maybe I did make a mistake, and then they can fuck once, and then then you don't do it anymore. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Gary Veeder, @GaryVeeder on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow him, support him. GaryVeeder.com. Roasted his baby dick. Hi, JTrain. Huge fan. I've snapped you before asking to be on the show when I'm famous. So here's the problem. I dated this guy I met on Tinder. It was casual, although I wanted a relationship. He kept saying it was going to turn into one, and the whole dating thing was just a mess. We recently ended things because he said he didn't have time for anything, and I just found out he's dating someone else. The harsh, cold reality of, I'm too busy for you,
right,
is really his answer. I texted him and roasted him to the point where I called him out on his baby dick.
That's the go-to for so many women.
Did I take it too far, or did I have the right to feel completely used by this douche? Help. You weren't used.
Yeah, and also, as far as a baby, every guy's heard that, so it's like, it's not, I mean, it's whatever.
I'm a strong medium. I've said it a million times on this thing.
I'm fine with what I have, so I know it's not a baby dick, but, you know.
The only way that hurts is if he's mentioned
it's definitely an adolescent.
Yeah.
Let me say that.
It's a young adult dick.
Yes, exactly.
I have a young adult dick. It's into a tween. I have a tween dick.
Yes, yeah.
Tween dick is the most unsexy thing to refer to your penis. How big's your dick? I'd say it's a Nickelodeon tween sitcom sized. You only care about the baby dick comment if he's mentioned it in the past.
Right. If he's insecure about,
and you know what,
like that,
your boyfriends are insecure about.
And to tell you, I guess he has no problem, you know, meeting somebody else, you know, or, you know, it doesn't seem like it's an insecurity.
That baby dick wasn't sucking itself.
Right, exactly.
I don't think you take it. I hate what she did, but I understand it.
Right, yeah. It was a defense mechanism, you know?
Here's what I'll say about their relationship. I don't think he used her.
They met on Tinder?
They met on Tinder. They hooked up for a while. I think he's a pussy.
Right.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, I mean,
he wasn't as honest as he could have been, but it was, you know, when you meet somebody, you're there to meet them, and you don't know if they say they're looking for a relationship and the other person goes, well, I'm not ready yet. That means they're not looking for a relationship.
And you also don't know what they're going through at that time. Yeah, like, I mean, exactly. You have no idea what they're going through at that time. That guy might be saying what she wants to hear, but it takes time to actually know if that person's telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's also bothersome to me is she doesn't know when a girl says, girls want guys to be so honest that we are literally mean people.
I mean, this is the exact reverse of the
other guy. Yeah, this is why I have a theme here.
Yeah, this is great.
So, but what I'm saying is that they want, like, she goes in her email, she writes, I dated this guy, man, on Tinder. It was casual, although I want a relationship. He kept saying it was going to turn into one. what else could he fucking say to give you the message?
Oh, totally. I mean, I'm married now, yeah. But it's like, yeah, I mean, in every stage of every relationship, it always is trying to get to the next, you know, point. Like before we were engaged, it was when we were going to get engaged. Oh, we're going to get engaged. You know, it's just like, but sometimes a guy isn't necessarily ready for that. But as far as a relationship goes, I think it's like both parties have to agree right at the same time that it's going to start. If one wants a relationship and the other one doesn't, it's kind of doomed right from the get-go.
Yes. And what else is he supposed to say?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want him to say? Well, I just like fucking you and I kind of don't want to marry you ever.
Right.
You
know, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
What is it? If that's the answer you want, then... Right. Okay, but you're just asking him to be mean. Yeah. It's gonna be a relationship. I feel like the writing is on the wall at that point. I know I have no emotion in it, so it's easier for me to say that.
I think what really affects every relationship, it's like as soon as you see one party is needier than the other, it's just a turnoff. So it's like you have this girl who's needier than this guy or who has another option, you know, obviously out there that he just doesn't feel like he needs her.
And guys
so want that just turned off. And it's so early in a relationship. I think that you could both need each other, like as a relationship goes on, if like, you know, you're dating for, you know, a year or more like that. But in the beginning, if one is so much needier than the other, or like seems to like the other one more, it just, you know, kills any potential.
The hardest thing for women to do, and this is what they have to do, and I feel bad, but this is you know the heart is to make a guy chase.
Yeah.
And that's really what guys really want. Guys want to chase. Guys want to say that they've, you know, captured something in the wild and brought it home for all their buddies and hold up the, you know, the big saber tooth.
Right.
You know, I want to hold up that big saber tooth mink with the big tits.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and look at my friends and have them go, oh, that's a nice set of tits you got back from the wild.
Right.
You know, that's what every guy wants. No guy wants, she keeps fucking... bother me, and I guess I'll fuck.
Right, right.
You know,
exactly.
Like, you want to feel like you made this whole sexual thing happen. So when a girl says to you, and I think this is difficult to do. I'm not judging girls for doing this. I'm saying it's very tough to make a guy constantly chase you when you like him just as much.
Yep.
But that is what makes guys kind of tick in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you say to him, I want a relationship. I want a relationship. He's kind of like, okay.
He almost feels like he succeeded.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I got this person to like me to the, you know, the 10th degree.
You just opened a saber-tooth mink shop.
Right, exactly.
And said, yeah, take whatever you want.
Exactly.
You made it easy. That's a buffet. Guys want to go and, you know, we want to go and go get the catch. We want the excitement of it all. Right. I don't know. I don't think she'd... The thing is, what happens is, I've had this just happen. A girl texted me after something had ended. Like, it happens every time. I just wrote about it last week. I wrote a column that called, like, for Total Frat Move, called "The Girls Created Ghosting."
Yeah.
So I have this theory, is that what girls will do when you end a relationship is, I'll get that, I call it the finishing move.
Yeah.
It's like the email or text that tells you how wrong you were.
Right, right.
I get it after every relationship. And it's like the email always, the title's always like, read me.
That's hilarious.
I got one once that like really shook me to my core. and this was a little bit ago. And it was just basically telling me that I was like lying to the person.
Right.
And in that email, it always feels like women are the moral center and I was raised by wolves.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't
know.
You're
an animal. Yeah,
I don't know what's
shit. You're gonna die alone if you keep this up.
This text I got was like hot. You know, it was fucked up that you texted me Thursday at 4 o'clock when I'm at work.
Yeah.
That, and it's like, when do you want to be dumped?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You tell me. When are you, Monday at 2? Is that a better time for you?
Right.
I don't know why we're so stuck on the how as much as, you know what respect in a breakup is? Here's what respect in a breakup. Mm. Respect in a breakup is the amount of time it takes you from when you know it's over to when you actually end it. That's a respectful guy.
Right.
If you know...
And you drag... you can't drag it on.
The more you drag it on is the less you respect the person. If you know on a Monday and you end it on a Tuesday, you're a pretty fucking good dude.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, you've given this girl the opportunity to go find someone better.
Yeah, she could go out that night.
Yeah, go out. None of them think that way. Yeah. You know, but I just think it gets... And I think it created ghosting because every... breakup I've ever done.
Right.
Every breakup I've ever done has been questioned. The method has been questioned.
Right.
So now, anytime I'm about to break up with a girl, I'm sitting there going, well, that last time was wrong. That last time was wrong. 2 times ago, I should have called. 2 times ago, I should have never called. 2 times ago, 3 times ago, I should have texted. Now I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to disappear.
Right, right.
You know? Exactly. I don't want to deal with this shit. So I think she got it out of her system. Now move the fuck on.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
got
you
the
got
baby
it.
Dick. Yeah. Now, I think nothing's too harsh as long as it's done like a Band-Aid.
Well, yeah, just like the previous email, there's nothing good that would potentially come from, you know, getting back together, like getting back together. And if you were to have a relationship, you'll always remember this.
Yes.
So that doesn't, you know, it'll never work.
Well, let's
out.
Stay on the same subject. I got another one. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending those emails. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Gary Veter. So funny. Go check him out. Support him at Gary Veter on both Twitter and Instagram, GaryVeter.com. Go support him. He has to eat this year. So we got to help him. We got to help him eat. Feelings for my booty call. Okay. Hi, J-Train. Your podcast is great. You know this, but I have a problem. I started hooking up with this guy last April. Oh, it's a female listener. Last April during my school's end of the year festival. We have continued to hook up since then on last April. Oh, shit. Yeah.
She just sent this in.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We're in the new studio here, so I'm trying to get comfortable. It's a little bit of a weird... Why would they set it up like... Okay. So last April, and since then, we've on a once every 1 or 2 week basis. So they're hooking up once every 1 to 2 weeks since last April. But over the summer, we went on actual dates. I'll explain that for her in a second. However, we never labeled what we are. At one point last semester, he mentioned that I only wanted him for sex, and he thought I was his girl and he was my guy. Even though I know he's having sex with other girls, he told me, she put in parentheses, he told me, and he's never made an attempt to hang out with me at school other than sex. So I often feel like I'm the reason we're not actually together. I'm starting to get real feelings for him, though. I don't know if it's reciprocated. I'm planning on asking him to my date night, but I'm not sure if I should do it or if it's a waste of time. What should I do? Thanks. Let's go to the beginning of the email, because I want to point out something that's I think is important. I started hooking with a guy this last April, and then she says they were on the summer they went on actual dates.
Right.
That doesn't count.
No, yeah, exactly.
But
first off, they probably live in different towns. What else are they going to do? They have to do something.
That's the thing.
And what do you justify as a date? Like meeting up at, you know, at night, eating a meal and then fucking later? It's like, that's what you have to do outside of college.
Girls cannot judge guys when a date is the most convenient for them.
Right.
I mean, that guy... When you're over the summer, you're not at college. Okay, mm-hmm. Now the chick pool went down to zero.
Yeah, exactly.
The chick pool literally empties in the summer.
Yeah.
If you go to your internship.
Yeah, welcome to life. this is a little glimpse of what your life's going to
exactly.
be like.
Exactly. So he basically was like, where do I get fucked? Oh, that chick from last semester will go on dates because he had nothing else to do. I'm not saying
that's also why he's also upped his, like, what he had to do. He probably, you know, he took her out because he had to.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I had a girl once. She was telling me about this guy that she was dating. And the guy sent her a text being like, hey, I want to go to this concert tonight. Are you in?
Yeah.
And she was like, he's like, I got an extra ticket to this concert tonight. And she goes, no, I'm not in. And then she was like, he takes me to those concerts. And I was like, well, why didn't you go with him that night?
Yeah.
She's like, well, I had to work that night. And I was like, is there any way he would know that you were working?
Right.
And she was like, yeah, he probably would know. And I'm like, yeah, he did that looking like the good guy.
Yeah.
Because it was convenient for him.
Right.
He could be like, oh, here's the, I asked you on that date to the concert.
Yeah.
But you couldn't make it. So I'll see you at 2 a.m. again. You know, this is, and I know this sounds like
guy's
it's really,
a genius.
He's a genius. I know it sounds like I'm thinking too far into this,
but this is what
we do.
Right.
So this girl, when she's like, she's leaning on this date that happened over the summer, but in my mind, those dates weren't happening when he had the option of other chicks.
Right.
They were happening when he literally had nothing else to do.
He was more desperate.
He was more desperate. And I don't want her to feel bad about that, because, listen, that's not to say she's not great, but what he's doing is when you have a hookup, and since it's been going since last April, you're just trying to extend that hookup as long as possible. You're on a 10-day basketball contract,
right.
And you're just looking to do good minutes in practice.
Trying to keep getting the contract renewed.
Keep getting renewed. Yeah. So we can't lean on those things. If you're seeing a guy and you're like, we hook up every night at 2 a.m., but we did go on a date 2 months ago. Yeah, listen, bitch, 2 months ago.
Right.
You know, when is the last time you've hung out with his friends? When's the last time he did that at school? So we have to look at the reality versus the story, the romantic story that we want to tell our friends that we won't get judged for.
Yeah, but also a relationship in college is completely different. They could want, like, that's somebody they, you know, maybe they, you know, hang out again this coming summer, and that, you know, develops into something more if they're like, going through their senior year, or, you know, they both get jobs. Like,
I agree. She has to be not afraid to lose it to be able to gain it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's great. So right now, what she's saying is, I started to get real feelings from, should I invite him to the date party? What would you say?
I think that, it's totally up for it to invite him and then see what happens, because it's better to know than to not know. Because maybe he says no, it's like, well, fuck him, meet somebody else.
Totally.
But if he does say yes, then, you know, just deal with, like, the hookups for the time being.
Yes.
And then maybe it could develop into something more. But I wouldn't put so much pressure on it. But
the only way to work it out is to retrain this dog.
Yeah.
And the only way you retrain a dog is you give him treats after he's done a task.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Yeah. So right now he's getting treats with no tasks.
Yeah.
He's doing the 2 a.m. Meetup once every other week and going out and meeting other chicks in his free time.
And also, this also goes back to the needy thing. You know, if like you could maybe say turn some of those down.
Totally.
Then you could be getting, you know, a date here and there. You know,
it's okay to set a new standard. It's not okay to look at him and be like, you fucked me over for the past, because you agreed to that past. You were in on it.
Yeah.
So let's forget the past. All you can do is retrain for the future. So what you do is invite him to the date party. If he comes, that's great. Have fun. Don't hold him. Don't get mad at him because of the 2 a.m. hookups from the past. Have fun that night. Get to know each other in that moment when it's a real get together.
Right.
If he says no to that, take that in. Understand that he just didn't do the task.
Right.
So next time he comes for a 2 a.m. meetup, you got to say no.
Right.
You got to take away the treat when he's not done the things that he should be doing as what you want, which is a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. That's great advice.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, it's your boy Ocho, man of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast. Check out our podcast to hear my thoughts on sports, life, relationships, and the number one thing that means the most to me, love. Find new and archived episodes of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Now, let's go to the next email. Friend in a terrible situation. This is a post-grad email. What's up, good Jew canoe? Just a quick thank you for your podcast. Really helps me at a deep level with my depression. Oh, dude, I'm happy I can help. I turn your shit on when I need a pick-me-up and a good laugh. So thank you. Anyways, hey man, I'm happy I can help. Keep telling your friends. I have a buddy who's in a bad engagement. Ooh.
All right.
Let's call him Jeff. Jeff is a great guy, really into music. He is a guitar player who recently signed to a low-level record deal. But hey, it's the first step towards the big stage. That's great. He's been at this for a few years, and now is finally gaining some ground. But here's the problem: his fiance, who lives across the states, was born into a totally different family where money is everything. So she has been super unsupportive of his dream.
Right.
He has plans to finish school as a backup plan, but she's looking for a money plan now, and she's very condescending about the situation. How do I convince him to ditch this girl and to move on with his life with someone who's more supportive? Also, I'd like a Snapchat shout out from my friend T Buchanan 27, no tits, all shits. And another shout out for my Snapchat, Shook897, S-H-U-K-A-I-T 97. All tits and tons of shits. Thanks and keep up the good work. Podcast helps me get through my shitty days. Dude, thank you for listening. I'm happy it's helping you out. This is a terrible situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, we do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure you had relationships where a chick has not liked the fact that you're going out and doing stand-up comedy every night, or you could be out. And it's,
but you're married. You've made it work. I mean,
but I think that's it depends. You have to find the person who is gonna, like, if you want to do something, you should find a person that supports you in doing that thing. Because if you don't have that, then it's just gonna be a disaster. You're gonna be that person who's, you know, 75 years old who never got to do what he wanted to do, and you things. You want to be married to somebody who really likes what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, why should you go to a job, you know, and work, you know, 8 to 7 and hate what you're doing?
Yeah.
Like, you only have one life.
I know. That's, you know.
I mean, if he really
cares. I feel badly for this guy because he's the friend watching this go down. I mean, obviously, he's doing something great. He's getting, he's got a deal with the record company. That's hard to get. We know that from this industry. It's hard to get people to sign on to represent you and get you to push, get you that extra push.
Totally.
So I understand that he's got to be pretty good. Here's the issue that this guy has. You can't tell someone to follow their dream or who to love.
Right.
Those two things
you
can't force someone else to do. It has to be self-motivated for both of those. You have to approach a girl, and you have to want that girl on your own, and you have to approach a dream and go after that dream on your own. You can't, because I see so many people that are like, I want to do stand-up. I'm like, do it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's like, I can't do anything for you. The advice is to go on stage.
Right.
And I can't do more than that for you.
Totally,
until you get, you know, that's the only thing to do.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with this guy. You can't, right now it feels like he's straddling his dream and his love.
Yeah.
It feels like he's doing half of both.
Well, but you're also hearing it from his friends.
I know.
Which might not necessarily
But if your fiance lived across the states.
Right.
You're still doing school as a backup plan.
Yeah.
You're doing half of it.
Right.
So I think, if you go to your buddy, you can't tell him you hate his girl. I mean, have you ever had a friend that was going to marry the wrong person?
I think. No, I mean, none of my friends have gotten
I've had a couple divorce friends.
I don't have any divorce friends.
I've had a couple friends that, like, you know, we were all just like, this chick that he's dating is the fucking worst.
I mean, I had friends from college who married girls that we knew in college, and it's just like, I mean, she, like, hooked up with, like, you know, like, you know, everyone in our fraternity. How are you marrying this girl? But
that's a weird wedding to be at.
But they're together. Yeah.
What do you? That's, like, the best when you go to the wedding of the girl.
And she could have married anybody here. Yeah.
The girl that hooked up with a bunch of guys, and then you're just sitting at the ceremony. And everyone's just looking at each other, giving winks.
Right. Exactly.
Those weddings are the best.
High fives.
Yeah. You got the priest up there, and everyone's like, "Yeah, we don't need you here, buddy."
Right. Exactly.
This is a big mistake. I don't know. You can't. I've had buddies where I would advise anybody that if their friend's in a relationship with someone that they don't like, it's different than a relationship with someone that isn't good for them. It's one thing if it's an addiction, you know, drugs or alcohol, but it's for him, it sounds like he just doesn't like the brand of woman that she is.
Right.
Which, in that case, you got to step away from that. If I'm him, hammer the dream.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
what I mean.
You push him towards the dream. You can't force him.
Yeah, you're better off going one thing as opposed to both of those things.
Yeah, you don't want to fight wars on two fronts.
Yeah, exactly. So if you push the dream, that would probably help you push away that girl and have him realize that on his own.
The girl will work itself out.
But clearly this guy is, focused on the music because he has that deal. So he should,
anytime he comes to him for advice and is like, hey, should I go do this music festival or go to her aunt's party?
Go to music festival. Yeah.
Just
follow your dream. Yeah.
Push him to the dream. Tell him he's great. He should keep going, keep pushing. You know, when people write into this podcast, they're like, oh, we love what you do. It makes me feel good. It makes me want to do more.
Right.
You know, that's why we do this twice a week now.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you say to him, keep going with the music, I love that song, when you're super supportive, that will drive him away from the people that don't support the dream.
Right.
And that will become clear with the girl.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We got time for a couple more. We can do a couple more. Let's do formal date. You were in a fraternity.
Yeah, so we had formal.
You were, what fraternity were you in?
Phi Delta Theta. University at Buffalo.
Okay. Remember formals?
Oh yeah, I remember Formals.
Those are the best.
Yeah, I had always a great time. I was always struggling to find a date. That was my
This is what this guy's writing. Sup, right, Jay Fucker, big fan of the podcast, been for a while. I'm a newly active member at my fraternity, which is top three on campus.
Where does he go to school?
Anyways, I've never been good with women because I'm a bigger guy and no high school sluts wanted to fuck a lineman. I've been there, buddy. And then he puts in parentheses, I'm the one funny fat kid in my pledge class. We get it. Yeah. So my fraternity has our big spring formal coming up in about a month and a half, and I'm having a problem with getting a date to it. I could ask one of my pledge bros or one of the older members in the house if they can set me up like they did for homecoming, but I'd rather not resort to that because I would like to be my own man and prove I can pull some poon. I like this attitude.
Yeah.
So any advice on how to meet some girls or to just go, or just ask as many people as I can. And one is bound to say yes. Well, come on.
Yeah.
This is how we got fat in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for the help. You better use this in your podcast, you greasy Jew crotch stain. P.S. I wrote this while taking a beer shit. Hope you enjoy my snap. What do you think? I like this guy. Yeah, what do we do?
I think he should, you might as well start asking girls out as opposed to having somebody else, because you're going to have to ask girls out your entire life. You might as well start, you know, getting rejected and getting better at it now.
That's the biggest change from the college world to the real world. Yeah. You find that there's just less people to lean on.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking around on a Saturday morning in college and you're like, oh, I can go to room 10. I can go to room 12.
Yeah.
I can go hang out in room 15. Oh, and the HMS, they're all fucking smoking weed. I can do that. You got options.
Oh, yeah.
You get out of college, you're sitting in your apartment with your roommate and the roommate's like, yeah, I got to go to a wedding this weekend. And you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I got to be a self-starter now. I got to do it on my own.
Yeah, exactly. And you might have to take somebody to that wedding too.
Yeah.
And if you want to have sex with that person, you have to make sure that
that's
they
want to
have
happen.
Sex with you. Yeah, exactly.
Also, getting set up in college, like for a formal date specifically, I think setups are great.
Yeah.
If you're propped up.
Right.
Setups to formals are never done in a positive way.
Right.
You know, like, hey, my buddy needs someone to go with. That's how every formal date gets asked.
Yeah.
Like, let's do a little J-Train Theater. How about that? We'll do a J-Train Theater. We do this every now and again on the podcast. J-Train Theater, you are the girl.
Okay.
I'm the guy. I'm his pledge brother.
Yeah.
Asking the girl for my pledge, for my fat friend.
Right.
Okay, ready? And you're friends with my girlfriend. What's up, Amber?
Nothing much.
We got our formal coming up.
I heard.
You know, House.
Yeah.
You know House?
Yeah, of course. Everybody knows him.
Housey?
The big fuck.
Yeah. Mansion. He's like, he's got no one to go with, and... You know, you want to come? Like, it's free booze.
I'll go. He doesn't think I'm gonna have sex with him, right?
No. You go. It's fun. Like, it's free. How's a good guy? He's funny. He's hilarious.
Right. As long as he doesn't touch me.
No, it's yeah. He won't touch you. You know, we'll make sure. But he, you know, free booze and you know, get dressed. It'll be fun. All my friends are gonna be there. End scene.
Yeah.
But see how negative that sounded?
Nobody's going to want to.
Nobody wants to go with that guy.
They'll go because free stuff. My friends will be there. I won't have to really talk to this guy.
He's got no one to go with. It's just never put in a positive light. No one ever asked, you know, their friend, the girl for the guy being like, he is a animal.
Why. Everybody wants to fuck him.
Yeah,
but we're reaching out to you on his behalf.
Yeah, he has a line of chicks that want. It's one thing if he's this stud dude and he's like likes this one specific girl. That's a different type of ass.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a guy. I mean
totally different.
I mean, that guy has a different game altogether. Yeah. You know, he's living life.
He
could do whatever he wants. But you're not that guy.
No,
you know, I'm not that guy. Like you have to ask people, and like I think the best thing to do is, you know, if you could be that you know, fraternity brother who was going to ask the girl who has friends in the group that are already going with your other fraternity or brothers. Like, maybe that's the best approach. Like, look who's out there. Like, you know, which one of your guy friends, you know, of those girls that he took, who has a friend that, you know, could be a possibility.
You have to approach the one that you would ask someone to ask.
Yeah.
That is the move. You're totally right.
Right.
Because every fraternity pledge class has their, like, pledge class best friends.
Yeah.
That's the one you go with, the one that he did homecoming with, the one that they do, you know, week-long events. We always had one sorority that we were like, we just knew from the get-go. We were always with them.
Exactly, yeah.
You got to zone in. When he's got to take, he's got to look at the, you can't make your search too wide. You got to narrow it down, just like you're saying.
Yeah.
So here's what you do. The next, we used to have socials. You had socials.
Yeah,
so like socials were like the pregame.
Right.
Next social you have with the sorority that you are closest with, you start to think of like three girls that would be, that aren't friends with you, but are in the crew.
Totally, yeah.
Kind of like fringe players. You go straight to them and you hang out. Have a great time that night. Start pulling shots out. Be the funny fat guy.
Yeah.
Be the friend. Hey, what's going on? And they're fringe players.
Exactly.
So they're not usually in, you know, you don't want to go top, you know, the king bitch in charge.
I had a guy in my fraternity, he's married now, but I mean, he was fat, he was a huge redhead, but he had a great personality, and he would get laid.
Totally.
And it's like, it's just, but he was like a guy that people could be, you know, around and they could feel comfortable with.
Feel comfortable.
Exactly. And then, but they would wind up having sex with him.
This is totally what I'm talking about. So the next time, so every fraternity has that sorority that they're super close with. The next time they're over, you find the girls that are not the key players. You don't want to go to the OKPs, original key players. Yep. You want to go to the girls that are like always there, but you never remember their name. And you go up to one of them and you start talking it up. What's going on? Where are you from? Let's do some shots. Yeah, you want to go hang out in my room? All my buddies and I are going to be hanging there. You start playing them up. Right. Now the girl that doesn't get asked her name is now the queen of the ball.
Right.
She's the belle.
Yeah.
And now she feels great. This guy's giving me attention. This is all, he's so much fun. And at the end of the social, you don't go to the party with her. You go to a different party.
Yeah.
But before you go to different parties, you go, hey, our formal's coming up. You want to go to our formal with me? We just had so much fun.
Yeah.
Now what you've done is had an interview. It's like when you go work on the, you have that work interview where
she,
you like,
felt comfortable that felt entire comfortable. Time.
Yeah.
You weren't trying to make moves on her.
You,
like,
gave her a preview to what a fun night with you is all about.
Exactly.
And so now, and what you do is you ask on the way out, because you're going to go to your party. She's going to say, oh, we're going to this party at this other fraternity. And you're like, oh, actually, my buddies and I, we're going to this other house. Split up.
Yep.
Because you want to end on a laugh.
You end on a high note. Oh, I was just going to say, you end on a high note.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a perfect...
Leave her wanting more.
And that's also just how it goes with, especially if you're asking a girl out, like anytime you ask her out, break off. As soon as you got the number, you got whatever, all right, time to, you know, see you later.
Because where can you go with the conversation from there?
Yeah.
You've done the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Now you can only slide down the mountain.
Absolutely.
So what you do is you go to the social, you pick off the three girls that are like the ones that you're like, I see you at every party, but I don't know your name.
Yeah, cool. Not too desperate.
Not too desperate. Make it shots happen. Have a drink.
Yep.
Play them up like they're the OKPs when they know they're not.
Yep.
End of that social. Hey, we're going to this other party. Do you want to go to my formal's coming up around the corner. You want to come with me?
Yeah.
Let me get your number. We'll figure it out. Cool. See you later.
Yep.
And then you're out. Now she's spinning.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what just happened. She went in being nobody. And now she's, you know, took her glasses off, and now we found out she's the homecoming queen.
But I say also, don't be, like, I don't know what kind of humor this guy has, but like, maybe, you know, don't be too over the top, because, you know, that would be too much for girls. Just be, you know, be cool. Like, maybe, you know, if you are over the top now, just tone it down a little bit, because you can impress her at this social.
Totally. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, here with Gary Veeder, @GaryVeeder. On Instagram and Twitter. We got one more time for one more. We'll do one quick one, and then we'll go to the news, hypotheticals, and a poem. Urination. Hello, Jared Train. I'll make this short, not so sweet. I'm a student at a small school in the East Coast, so word travels like wildfire. My blackout self somehow managed to hook up with a 797 last night. Went, ooh, that's a pull. Went back to my place, and apparently I peed the bed while she was there. What on earth do I do? Any help is appreciated.
So he slept at her place?
He wrote, your favorite lemon snow cone maker. He slept... went back to my place, and he peed the bed.
And he peed the bed at his place. And she definitely knows that he peed the bed?
Yeah, and he says the word goes around quick.
Fucking, I mean, I'll say straight up, fucking walk with pride on this one. Yeah. Be like, yeah, and I peed the bed after I fucked her. You know,
like, own it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Own the story.
Because if you, that's the thing, is like, if you're the guy, you know, like even going back to that chick with who's saying, oh, this guy has a baby dick. If you're that guy who has a baby dick, be like, yeah, I got a baby dick, and I fucked you, and I fucked you. Like this.
And baby dick touches all the chicks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now you're the guy who peed, and it'd be like, yeah, so what? I was fucking drunk. Like,
you got that baby dick for that baby vagina.
Yeah, be like, next time I won't pee on you.
That's the thing. The cover-up is always worse than the crime.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If he's like, no, I didn't do it, now you're in a lie situation.
Yeah, just own it. Just be like, yo, I peed the bed. Like, beat her to the punch. Like, tell all your friends.
Text her. Hey, be apologetic, but also be confident. So, hey, and listen, you're not the first person to pee their bed in college. You're the millionth.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
This happens at every school and every fraternity. We had a buddy of mine who used to have rubber sheets.
Yeah.
So like everyone, it's not like you're like the only one that's ever done this. It's going to work out.
Yeah.
You're going to get a job in corporate America one day. So here's the thing. You own the story. You get in front of it. I've said this on the podcast before. Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit. Mm. Both of them did steroids. One of them we think of as a steroid user, and the other one we think of Hall of Famer Andy Pettit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying one owned the story. I don't know if Andy Pettit was in the Hall of Fame, but whatever. One owned the story, apologized, said, hey, it's on me.
Yeah.
And the other one denied. Yeah, and that person is the evil one.
A-Rod, you know?
A-Rod, same deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Own it. So you say to her, you send her a text, here's what you do. Listen, even if you got a little bit of cash, I would even mail her, you know, go on Amazon, send her some new sheets.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the move.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the power move if you got some dough.
Yeah.
Send her some cheap sheets or whatever.
Fucking
some
joke.
New
yeah.
T-shirt sheets.
Yeah. Well, it's his bed, but still it's a joke.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it also goes with a joke, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You make it funny. Hey, I'm so sorry. I guess I got a little bit of an issue.
Yeah. or just be like, or even tell her, be like, hey, I just want you to let you know, I just went on fucking bedbathandbeyond.com and ordered new sheets for myself.
Joke it up.
So the next time, don't worry, they won't have urine in them.
Yeah, the next time it'll be better than last time.
Yeah, yeah.
You could even,
something like that.
You could text her, hey, listen, now you might have a new fetish. Did you like it?
Yeah.
You know, joke it up. That's what we're saying.
I thought you told me to pee on you.
Yeah,
you said it during your sleep.
Wasn't that in your Bumble profile?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't you? Right. You like
while you were sleeping, you talked, and you said, "I want you to pee on me." That's what you said. So you might be having a thing.
What's the rhyme? Circle, circle, lemonade. That's where poopy's made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just send that thing. Yeah, you know, like go Google what that is. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Gary, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, man.
Fantastic. Go follow Gary at Gary Veter on Twitter, Instagram, GaryVeter.com. Go follow him, support him. Fantastic comic. I say it all the time with the guys that you might not know. Grow stocks. You get the rookie card.
You get to know Gary
his first year of pro stand-up.
Yeah,
you know,
that's I've been doing it a while, but but this is my first year. I'm actually enough to support myself. So.
We're going to be right back with the news, and we'll be right back in a second.
I can't say life's a bitch because it's what you make of me. You make your own beat, so you gotta leave.
Hey, guys, welcome back. We're here with Gary Veter at Gary Veter, Twitter and Instagram, GaryVeter.com. Thank you for answering those emails.
I had a great time.
Fantastic.
I hope we helped people out.
I think we did.
Yeah, I think it was a good job.
This was a really great episode. I'm happy you came on and did it. And with his J Train podcast debut, Shelby.
What is up?
You sound like a Shelby.
Didn't make it awkward at all. He's right in there with the what is up. I love it. Go follow. So give out your Twitter.
It is Classic Shelb.
Classic Shelb.
Yeah.
That's a classic Shelb. That's like a TFM.
Yeah.
Total frat move. And so when someone says, what is up, that's a classic Shelb.
It's a classic Shelb.
Okay. Go follow Shelby on Twitter. And let's do a couple hypotheticals. I love doing these. This is a really funny one.
Cool.
I love the simplicity of this one.
All right.
And you can send your hypotheticals. Just title your email hypothetical to jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Sup, J-Twat. Would you rather tag team a girl with Larry Bird or John Elway? Both guys are totally down and wouldn't make shit weird. I love that we... like, they're cool.
Right, right.
Elway is totally awesome with this.
Yeah.
Bird does not mind at all. What do you think, Shel?
John Elway, he's always on the sidelines of those Broncos games, and he has those like big front teeth.
Huge teeth.
Yeah.
Big choppers.
He looks like the Bronco.
Right, right.
Yeah, he's got that horse mouth.
Yeah.
Just with that like
big choppers.
Blank, couldn't deal with that?
Blank look on his face. We'd probably catch eyes and be like, ugh.
So you're more worried about his judgment.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay. What do you think? You said,
well, I met John Elway before.
You met him?
Yeah, so I met him before at like, it was like a celebrity golf thing. I wasn't competing. I just happened to be there.
Okay, were you just walking on a golf course?
I was going to, there was an event. I wanted to meet like athletes. This is when I was like 11 or 12. And then so.
Wait a minute. I know.
Yeah.
Do I know this about you?
Well, there was like a whole like lie. Like my dad said that I worked for Sports Illustrated for Kids and we did like a whole.
Wait a minute. Tell that story. Right. I'd heard this.
You want me to go into it? All right.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, my father used to say that I worked for Sports Illustrated for Kids. So we would get to go
you
to
would
different.
You just say it?
Well, he would say it to different people. He would call ahead. He would have a camera. He would say that he was a photographer. I would go in with
And this is pre-internet. No one could look you up.
Exactly. You can't look it up. And like nobody really thought somebody was ever capable of doing
it. Would he make like a fake press pass?
Well, he wouldn't make that up, but he would get press passes because he would call ahead.
That's
so
great.
So it was a whole like, yeah, I mean, so it's back in like, you know, early 90s, you know, to mid 90s. And then we would go to different sporting events, you know, went to like Ranger Stanley Cup game.
Was he just using you to get into these places?
I mean, he was taking pictures too. I mean, I'm sure he was partly for his own enjoyment.
Can you imagine
also
him telling his buddies, just being like, I got this great thing going?
He used to tell me never to tell anybody. He was like while we were doing it, it's like now, obviously.
So what would you go with, like a pen and paper, like a real recorder?
I'd have a recorder, I'd have a pen and paper. Sometimes he would have a video camera. So
Did you ever meet the real Sports Illustrated for Kids guy?
Yeah, so this is what happened. When I was meeting Shaq and Anthony Hardaway, I wanted to meet them both when they were both on the Orlando Magic. Okay. So this is back in like 93 or 94. Yeah. And we show up to the game, and I've been to the Garden like a few times at this point as a Sports Illustrated for Kids sports writer.
And this is a lie.
Complete lie. But my father always called ahead, and you know, he always like was good at talking to the security guards.
Because
once you're you know, in as a Sports Illustrated reporter,
you're established.
Yeah, you could walk by, you know, the ushers and like not having, we wouldn't have
seats.
Yeah,
they just knew, oh, that's the Sports Illustrated.
I would sit in the press box. I would sit on the floor.
That's like, fucking
and this
great.
Was all over a span of, you know, between like the early 90s and mid 90s. And then I...
premise to a movie.
Yeah, it's interesting. But then the day we went to the Orlando Magic game, the actual Sports Illustrated for Kids showed up, and they didn't want to meet Shaq or Anthony Hart. They wanted to meet Scott Skiles. For whatever reason.
Oh, that's because whoever really does work for Sports Illustrated for Kids is a big sports nerd.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So they're like, I'm really into Scott Skiles.
Well, here's the thing. Back then, also, they didn't have they didn't have kid writers. So it was a very interesting, like, it was like completely threw people off, I'm sure. So we showed up and we got in at the end of the game, like we rushed, and they were trying to get in to meet Scott Skiles. They couldn't get in. They had to like be held off.
because
I went in the back, went in the locker room, got like Shaq to sign a basketball, a card. Penny Hardaway signed the card too.
Fucking great.
But yeah, and I got like basketball sneakers from like Byron Scott.
So this is how you met John Elway.
That was how I met Shaq. But then, that exact scenario. We found out that there was a celebrity golf tournament going on in Long Island.
ambulance.
Found out where the players stay because they all stay in the same hotel.
Oh my!
And
God.
I met John Elway, met Jeremy Roenick, met Mario Lemieux, met Joe Namath.
But was he cool Michael enough Ruzzione. To fuck another chick with?
Well, that's the question.
See,
if I only knew that I was going to face that question later in life, I would have asked them that when I was...
And this is young, good-looking Elway. We're talking retired Elway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So you're... Shelby's going Bird.
Going Bird. Well, I would probably go with Bird, too, because... Okay.
He knows how to dish it.
Yeah. I feel that it's just like, I mean, he's one of the, Elway is a top NFL player, but yeah. like, you could definitely say Bird is a top 10, yeah. you know, all time. So I would, but I do an original Dream Team, you know, Larry the Legend.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel there's so much with Bird.
I'm going to say to you guys, you're both wrong. you're choosing Elway as a running mate. Here's the reason. I saw Elway 2 weeks ago at the airport.
Really?
Oh.
He looks great.
Oh, wow.
He's aging very well. Him and I think, would make quite a power team.
Yeah.
I think he'd take care of the old chicks. I go young chicks. We could find something. We could find some interesting ladies together.
You think that... Okay, you were looking at it like that.
Looks.
Okay.
I'm saying Larry Bird has aged horribly.
Right.
Even though I'm a big Larry Bird fan, I have a story actually about Larry Bird. I'm from outside of Boston. He used to live near my grandmother.
Right.
They used to live like a block away from one another. Let me talk about the hypothetical. I'd fuck with Elway because Larry Bird is aging like a candle.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't look great.
Yeah.
But I remember I'm like 10 years old. I'm in the car with my family. We're coming back from the High Holidays Temple.
Right, right.
Okay, we're going to my grandmother's house to eat. I'm in my suit. Okay? My dad pulls over the car. He goes, "Jared, right out there is Larry Bird cleaning his garage."
Yeah.
And this is like back, you know, they made money at this point, but not like they do today.
Is this when he broke his back?
It was like basically back broken Larry Bird. It's his last year.
Okay.
So, but he's cleaning his garage. Yeah. You know, nowadays, I don't think athletes even live amongst us.
Yeah.
You know? He's in a fine home.
Yeah.
You know? And he's out in the garage doing chores. My dad is like, "Go get his autograph right now." And I go, "I don't want to. I'm embarrassed because I'm wearing my suit."
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad was like, "Are you serious? Go right now and get Larry Bird's autograph." And I'm like, "No, I don't want to go. I'm embarrassed. I was dressed up from Temple.
Right, right.
I was embarrassed to go." And he goes, he goes, "You will regret this for the rest of your life if you don't go."
What a
right
great
now.
Dad.
And I,
dad,
and I go, so true. That's fine. My mom's like, I remember my mom being like, "Just go. He doesn't want to do it."
Yeah,
my mom's
of course.
Like,
of course
doesn't want to do
of
it.
Of course the mom's like that.
Defending me. Yeah. And I'm like, and to this day, my dad gives me shit about that.
That's hilarious.
And now I'm choosing not to go with Larry Bird
and get his autograph
and
too.
Get his autograph. I'm you choose second time in my life I've chosen not to meet Larry Bird.
Your dad calls and you will regret this.
You will regret this. You should fuck with Larry Bird. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com if you want to send in your hypothetical. That one was fantastic.
That's good.
Let's go to the news.
Staying on the theme of baby dicks.
Okay.
A certain historical figure, it turns out, may have actually had a baby dick himself.
Okay, ooh. What are we talking? Give me, let's guess. Is it politics? Is it?
Yeah, I want to guess.
What field are they in?
He is in politics, but you'd probably not, that probably wouldn't be your first designation for him.
My first designation. Give me another hint. Do you have another hint of who it could be?
He was known for his mustache.
Hitler?
Hitler?
It was Adolf the Führer Hitler.
Oh, okay. That's so
that's my first thing
so,
before
yeah.
I even.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm happy to find. I mean, you gotta have a baby dick if you're that much of a dickhead, right?
But I think it could just be Jews just saying he has a baby dick, yeah. just to get him.
Yeah,
just to throw it out there, throw him under the bus.
Would they get his body out? What did they? How did they find that out?
Some historians. Jonathan Mayo and Emma Craigie. They were writing a book about him.
Yeah, they
him.
Sound Jewish. Yeah. They sound like they
right.
get yeah, in front of this story.
They got some resentment. Towards
yeah,
him.
They say he suffered from a condition called hypospadias, which. Like the testicles don't descend, and apparently your dick's so small you like piss out of the
this
bottom
is,
of your dick.
This is that has to be made up. This is we're pissing on the grave at this point, right? Yeah. We're just making he had a small dick and no ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he used to have to shit, but out of his mouth.
Yeah.
That's it. Like this is why. It's so funny to me. This is why you don't get too famous.
Right, right.
Right?
Exactly.
You know, people will be like,
dude, so they'll fucking start writing about it 50 years later.
Yeah, we dug up George Washington. Turns out the wooden teeth were made of poop.
Yeah.
You know, you never would have
exactly.
known. We're just trying to embarrass
he has
people.
Shit for mouth.
I'm not trying to say I'm defending. I mean, baby dick, you know. I think it's funny.
Right.
That there are these doctors. They're doctors.
They are not, but they uncovered some medical records, and so they found
okay,
it.
Okay, so what is their job? Are they writers?
Yeah, just historians.
Historians. So let's do some J-Train theater, okay?
Yeah.
What's the doctor's name, the guy's name?
The guy's name is Jonathan Mayo.
Okay. You're interviewing me about what I'm doing with my life right now.
Okay.
Let's go to J-Train theater.
So doctor, what are you working on right now?
I am Dr. Mayo. I'm a historian of, I have a lot of degrees. My life's work is celebrity penis sizes.
Oh, that's interesting. Have you seen any penises recently?
Well, Adolf Hitler, small penis.
No way, Hitler.
Yeah, this is the truth.
I don't.
You know who else's penis is small? Genghis Khan. Really? I know all the penises. End scene. There we go. See how sad is that? All you do is just talk about people's penises.
Because after he finds Hitler has a small penis. Now he definitely needs to have.
Yeah, where do you go from here?
He needs more penises.
And that's a whole book. I don't need a book. I know that's the only thing I want to know.
Yeah. Right.
Let's go. Any other stories?
Well, you're all we're NBA fans in here. Anybody?
Yeah, I like basketball.
The trade deadline just passed, and Randy Foy, he's a guard or was a guard for the Denver Nuggets, was traded to Oklahoma City. He found out by getting a text on his phone from an NBA app.
Oh, like, it's an app.
wasn't the owner, wasn't his agent. He just found out, like, oh, a notification. Let's see.
We need this for dumping chicks.
Right.
This is the new way we should dump.
Yeah.
Jared says it's not you, it's me.
Right.
Jared says he's too busy for a relationship.
Right.
Wouldn't that be great? That's an app we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to work with the NBA people
to
get an app to dump chicks and dudes. It goes both ways.
It used to be you had to do it in person or by phone. Now you can do it by text. Now you can do it by text, but it's not even really you.
Not even you.
Level.
You should be able to fire his agent. and sue the team with that app.
Right? Yeah. You can respond like, click here. It's seamless.
Right.
I want seamless for dumping. I go into the app, I make a little Bitmoji, and it's just a picture of me on the beach with a new chick.
Right.
She just got replaced. Wouldn't that be great?
Totally.
A cartoon and me it, dumping
and
you?
And then it gives her like a list of other guys for Tinder just so she doesn't bug you.
There you go. Here's based on this.
Right.
Just like Netflix. Based on your previous decision, these other Jews would be good.
Right.
I didn't order this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thank you for bringing the news, Shelby. Great first appearance.
Happy to
have you on. Go find him on Twitter. At
Classic
Shelb.
Shelb.
Classic Shelb. Let's read some shouts. Gary, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me. Gary Veter
on Twitter and Instagram, GaryVeter.com. Do a couple shouts, and then we have another poem from our house poet.
Ooh, nice.
Sensei J Train, shout out. This kid's Snapchat out as a punishment for violating bro code Article 1. After our friend broke up with his girlfriend of over 4 years, this fuckstick sends him a text saying he's dating the fuck out of her, insert girl's name. At least he was funny about it. Total bitch move. Nothing but the media shits and hairiest man titties for A Bush 95. That's A Bush 95. You're the shit. Keep up the solid work. J Train, love the podcast. Shout out to my friend on Snapchat, Jerick Z. That's J E R I C H Z. We listen every Tuesday and Friday afternoon in the office. He'd love some shits and tits, but mostly shits. Those are some shout outs. Send in your shout outs and hypotheticals. Title shout out, title hypothetical, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. And we all, as we have in the past few episodes, we will end with a poem.
Oh, nice.
I never read these before, but I'll give them a classic brogue. I don't even know if that's the right word. There is an inhibition that hinders good men. J Train's told you thrice. I'm here to tell you again. Don't be into this habit. You're not a wussy yet. Don't ever construct a damn pussy net. J has pointed out that this net has the power to sway your mind at the 11th hour. You might as well sleep, 'cause that net, the net ain't shit. You probably don't even suck on her clit. If you hit a bitch up with the 2 a.m. text, that implies I'm horny without a what's next. Then she's not worth your time. She ain't worth the cum. You'll get off the same way with your index and thumb. if she's not worth the hangout, she's a what 675? She's not worth the commute. Plus, you're too drunk to drive. If you're too drunk to try for the other babes, then the pussy net is nothing but a charade. You must forgo this option to grow as a man. In the words of Jerry Yoda, on your own you must stand. If you go out and try with her in the back of your mind, you won't spit your A game, you won't be on your grind. Don't cheat yourself of a true night on the town. How else can you hope to truly sleep around? Let me ask you this. Would you play poker if you snuck in your own chips, an ace and a joker? Fuck no, you wouldn't. It'd be no fun. You'd have given up before you'd even begun. It's about the prowl, the chase, the first kiss. You'll release more testosterone when you fall into the abyss. Some disagree and say it's all about getting the nut. Well then, my friend, this doesn't apply to you yet. If Jay's taught me anything, it's the pussy net chicks will hinder your focus on Bumble, the bar scene, and Tinder. Don't fall into the net, it'll help in the long run. Wouldn't you feel like a fool if you fell for the wrong one? Don't let these ambiguous young ladies fall for the old pussy net fix and chill. JTG. Wow, that is...
Yeah. That was a lot of work.
That was unbelievable.
Nice poem.
This guy is amazing.
Very talented.
Thank you guys for listening. That's our show today. We will be back on Friday with more emails.